You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to Hen Docs on a Monday night. Even though the Blue Jackets are playing in Game 6 of their Stanley Cup playoff series, we're professionals. And we're here at Hen Docs to do the Massive Report. Yes, the game is on the big screen. Please try to ignore any outbursts that may come randomly throughout the course of our broadcast tonight. And we're, as always, brought to you by 180 Property Development. And we thank them for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your house from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. Mike Kroski is here, Alex Stanek, Patrick Murphy, welcome, and Sam Fahmy behind the board pushing the buttons and hopefully interjecting thoughts when you are so inspired. Please feel free. All right. Now, I need to preface my hosting of this podcast tonight by indicating that I saw almost 5 minutes of the game the other night, but my daughter was playing in the Epic Cup down in Oxford, which, by the way, her U18 team won.
Nice.
Yeah, take it off the hardware, yeah. But we were playing on Saturday night out there near Miami University, and then we zipped back to the hotel in Westchester. And we went to BW3. By that time, the crew game was over. We caught the end of the Jackets. But I only bring this up because FC Cincinnati was playing at that very time out in San Jose. Mm. There were two most of the screens were the Jackets game.
Naturally.
There were two screens that had the beautiful game on them, but they were both the same Liga MX match on Fox Sports. It was Tijuana and somebody. There were zero screens dedicated to FC Cincinnati a Cincinnati area BW3. What are we to make of this?
Maybe they don't have Flow TV or whatever.
Well, where do they show the games?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
No, you can still watch the game, I think, locally if you have the right channels.
Yeah, but, it's over the air.
Yeah. It's over the air. So they could have found it. Hey, but nobody asked.
Well, of course not. Well, it's because, as Stanek likes to say, they have their tickets for, like, what, $3?
Yeah, so, that's
so
right.
Artificially,
they're charging for those tickets now?
That's what I've heard for the third and fourth game, yes.
So they did.
A meal at BW3 is too expensive for FC Cincinnati fans. They just, you know. They only like the team when it's $2.97,
well,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, the game wasn't during happy hour. It was Saturday night, kind of late. So
bummer.
I get it. Yeah. All right. So they lose out in San
Jose.
Wait
a minute. I thought they've had a fan base for like 45 years. That's what I was told by Garber.
That's, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, in all fairness. In all fairness, as a Northwest native, I did grow up following the Sounders, going to the Kingdom and watching them. And they used to draw like 30,000 a game back there in the old North American
Kingdom.
Yes, they did.
Oh, wow.
Which is a ridiculous place to play soccer.
Wow.
I saw a USA-Russia game there in 1994. Alexei Lawless scored for the USA. And it's, yeah, I mean, it was like the carpet over the cement.
Right.
It was,
wow.
It was not conducive to good soccer. But it was, you know, it was big and dank, and that's why they blew it up. All right, we are digressing right off the jump here. The top story is Crew are pointless in five straight games. DC United 3, Crew 1. Let's save the officiating debacle for a moment. I want to kind of set that aside because that's one thing. Give me your thoughts on the game. And we'll start with any positives that you happen to see in terms of attacking soccer.
In terms of attacking soccer?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a
great... Where we think that we're going to score a goal even though we don't. Eventually we do.
What
did you see that you liked?
It seemed to be more... less crossing, but more just not being able to put the exclamation point on any chances that we did have. I thought... Even take away the goal that Santos should have been given credit for, I thought he played pretty solid. Certainly of the attackers, I thought he was the best. It's this back and forth with Higuain. He has those really great passes, and then as we've talked about, I swear, every week, those cheeky ones to nobody. And
right.
We saw more of that. And in fact, actually today I saw this thing. I don't know if you guys saw it on Twitter. Somebody made a Crew bingo card. Did you guys see this?
No.
And one of the spots said, Higuain backheeled to nobody.
That'd be fun to play at the stadium.
Absolutely.
We have to print that out.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was
I like
pretty
that.
Funny.
Put
so,
some money on it? Why not?
What about you, Murph? I don't know. I thought the attack was... It came in waves, but it was overall pretty mediocre.
I thought it was better, but when you are starting with one goal in 202 minutes or something like that, the last 202 minutes, you know, your basement's pretty low there. The floor's pretty low. I think, aside from the first 5 or 6 minutes where DC dominated possession and the Crew couldn't get the ball, they settled in. They started playing well. I agree, there were less crosses. They still were crossing the ball because this team is always going to cross the ball, but they were looking to build in the midfield with those cheeky heel passes and such. But I thought Will Trapp and Artur were more involved at that point.
Absolutely.
At least in the attacking third, attacking half. But, you know, the whole point of the game is you got to get a goal. And, you know, I mean, they did, but then they didn't, and we'll get to that. But, you know, right now, Giassi Zardes is confusing me. You know, he's a guy that obviously last year under Greg Berhalter was the latest forward to benefit from working with Greg. And he's just not involved. And they were dropping him back a little bit more, maybe, I thought, this game. Maybe I was just paying attention to it more. But he's just not, you know, he's not getting the looks. He got one look in the second half when there was that cross and he juggled it off his leg and fired it, you know, basically right at Hamid. It was a decent save, but, you know, and maybe it's a confidence thing with him, but, you know, the guys I was sitting next to in D.C., who were both D.C. writers, were asking about, you know, is this the fact that they lost Greg Berhalter and he's been able to, you know, make Adam Bedell a decent goal scorer, you know, guys like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, he has a way with forwards for whatever reason, maybe because he was a center back and he got to know a lot of them pretty well. But I don't know. I mean, I would have thought coming into the year that Caleb Porter and the way he wants to play, Giassi maybe doesn't score 19 goals, but, you know, Fernando Adi was a solid goal scorer for them back in the day.
15 goals a year.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's part of the problem. I think then the build-up, you know. Federico Higuain maybe has, you know, maybe this is when he's lost a step. I still think he's moving around.
He is.
You know, like, I don't think it's...
Absolutely.
It's really hard to put a finger on it, and I think that's the problem, is, like, if there was an obvious, hey, we need a forward, and, you know, until we sign a forward, we're not going to score goals, then we'd all just sit here and wait till they signed a forward, hopefully. But I don't think there is just one issue, and I don't think it's been the same issue every game. And I think in this game, they played well enough to score. You know, they hit the crossbar before... I think that was supposed to be a cross from Santos, but it hit the crossbar.
Cross,
yeah. I mean, and it was parried over the top. Yeah. I did see the highlight of that.
Yeah. And so, you know, who knows if that first, if that Santos goal goes in and the pressure is relieved from them, especially with the way he scored it, you know, right footed, just kind of
laser it near post.
Yeah, taking it to DC's back line. Maybe all of a sudden, you know, I don't know if the floodgates are going to open for this team, but. You know, then you just start playing free.
Right.
These guys are thinking about it as much as we're talking about it.
Well, you know, the thing with Zardes, he's been invisible in probably the last three games.
But he's been invisible previously and still found ways to score. And this year he's not. And I don't... Maybe last year was a fluke, you know. I mean, look at the rest of his seasons. 19 goals has not been what you count on from him. Now, you know, there were various reasons for that, like playing him at fullback. But, you know, maybe last season was an aberration and we're getting back, you know, regression to the mean type of thing. I don't know.
And the irony is that he's still in the U.S. pool, so he's playing for his old coach who can figure out how to get him to score goals. So, Alex, anything to add on the offense? Because I want to talk about the three goals that we gave up as well.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the offensive strategy that we're playing, the players are kind of mentally caught somewhere in between what Berhalter was teaching them and what Porter was teaching them. I think a lot of what you see with Higuain, with the misplaced passes and things like that, Higuain's expecting the players to be where they would be under Greg Berhalter, and they're not there anymore. They just all seem to not be quite on the same page, and I'm not sure if part of that is Porter's trying to tweak the system in ways that the players aren't understanding. I think he needs to blow up Berhalter system at this point and completely start from scratch with some either a different formation
we did that last week. Mike came up with a new formation and an entirely Mike lineup too. Did they follow that?
Absolutely not okay. One bit.
You faxed it over, right?
I did. I faxed it over twice in fact.
I just think the players seem to be kind of caught not in the Berhalter system and not quite in whatever Porter's trying to do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if some of that is when they're under stress, they revert to what they remember from the previous years, which is something that they need to somehow wipe out of their memory.
And they're not going
to
tell you that either way. So,
and it's funny you bring this up because Caleb has talked about, you know, needing to, you know, get these guys. Like last year, the last 5 years, they scored off crosses. They played a very specific way, and he wants them to think less. You know, to not be as machine like. You know, they under Greg, it was very structured, and right. He still wants a structure and still that similar playing style of possession and attacking and whatnot. But he wants them, I think, to make more decisions. And he's telling them, you know, in practice, like, you know, here's where we won't need to be. But if this guy reacts this way, I'm not going to be able to tell you what to do. And maybe that's, you know, part of the big change, because it's not like the way they're playing is, you know, still a similar, you know, formation style, whatever the case may be. It's you know, it's just there's some little things, and like you pointed out, it could just be those subtle differences that make a bigger deal. And I also just think, you know, it's kind of perpetuated on itself. That first three games where they lost, like, I really didn't think they deserved no points out of that stretch.
Right.
You know, Montreal, one bad giveaway at the back. Now you don't score. You know, the Philly game, or the Portland game, I'm sorry. You know, you give up a free kick goal, which they hadn't done. I think it was 53 free kicks they'd had previous to that, right. And they defended them all. You know, then you let down for 20 minutes, and, you know, we can go through it all. But I think they could have, if they get a point or get a win in that stretch, then we're not looking at this. And so now it's just building on itself. And, you know, it just, I don't know. It's weird.
So
it's
here's the thing. The Berhalter and Porter systems aren't that different in a lot of ways.
Before you get into that.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the impact of Berhalter's assistants, Wolf, and those guys, on how those players play.
Sure,
and how
absolutely.
They work with them individually, one-on-one. And so whatever they learned from them, now they're having to learn something different.
Right.
That's a good point.
I think that they need at least one key player to be replaced at this point. And I think that the player may end up being Jossie Zardes. I've been on the fence about him pretty much all season, but I really wonder if Greg just needs, or see, I'm saying Greg. If Caleb needs his own
You're
guy.
You're confused.
That, yeah.
Imagine how.
But I mean, I really think that they're trying to get Zardes the same way they got him under Berhalter. They're trying these crosses, they're trying to find him open in space. And the system's just different. I mean, Santos and Merrim are being played in different ways, or Rubinho.
Yeah.
They're being played in different ways than they were played under Greg. The wingers is the change, as far as I can tell. And Zardes is not liking it. He's not feeling it.
Well, here's the thing. And I'm not saying he's trying to play exactly like he did in Portland. But if you look at the team that he had in Portland, Valeri, Adi, Yerudi, when he would be in, Blanco, those guys, they played a little more free than what the crew played under Berhalter, and even what we're seeing with this crew team now.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, and, I mean, Valeri would come all the way back. I mean, he's a center mid, but he'd be on the sideline almost at his own goal half the time to collect, not half the time, but at times to collect the ball. Blanco would be all over the field. Nagby was a roamer. He was everywhere. This team, it does seem like it's too structured and robotic. And I don't know if that's exactly the way Porter would want to play. Now, obviously, you're at training more often, so maybe you can speak to that. But
no, I think you're right. And I also think, like, you list those names, and those are guys that, you know, most of them are starters in MLS. Even if they're not, you know, like a Rudy is not in Portland anymore. Darren Maddox, those guys. I mean, these are guys that have gone on to do other things, whether it was with Portland or otherwise. If you look at the guys they're using at the crew, and this isn't to, you know, take away for anything, but Pedro Santos was a guy who they got on the cheap because he was kind of declining. Rubinho was in the third division in Brazil last year. Justin, we've talked about his issues. You know, they don't really know what Nico, I mean, that level, you know, you're not bringing Maxi Arruti off the bench like
right.
Porter was towards the, you know, so there is a talent gap, and I think maybe that gets addressed if the team doesn't get sold in you know, some of that plays a part in how you would handle an off season if you were able to hire a coach earlier.
I think that absolutely, not that I like to sit around and make excuses, but
no.
we need to rewind back to January and look at everything that's happened. Well, everything was done late because the team was sold in January, and the coach left. so you had to hire a coach. They're still building their front office, and that includes the player development and scouting departments and so forth. So there's no question that that has had a huge impact here. It has to have had. We didn't have the chance to address things on the roster that maybe when Caleb Porter got here, he's like, oh, man, I'd really like to do this. I'd really like – but, you know, it's February, and we're heading off to camp, and pretty soon the season starts. So I got to make do with what I have for now.
Well, I think it's one of those things. Hey, the Jackets goal – or the goal against the Jackets was called back, everybody.
And that was the right call. I mean, that – now, that's a proper use of video replay.
Just going to say,
we'll perfect get to that here in a second. Perfect,
yeah. Towards well, Columbus this weekend.
But here's the thing. If I think we as supporters and people that follow the crew closely, we were stuck in the euphoria of, hey, we have our team. We have a badass coach.
We were in the playoffs last year and did decently.
But this team, when you compare them to rosters all over MLS, they're mediocre on paper. Like, there's talent. But the talent level has increased considerably in the last few years. And
I think last year was the big, like, the big jump for me was, mm-hmm. like, Atlanta got their stuff figured out. Other teams went out and spent money. You know, you bring in Zlatan, who, yes, coming off an injury, but still...
He's still a beast. Still,
you know, like, I think last year was when I really looked at the Cruz roster. Was like, yes, they made the playoffs, and they made a little bit of a run. You know, Wayne Rooney comes in. But that was when I was kind of like, oh, the league is starting to pass this team by.
Yes.
A little bit, and I think that's what you're saying.
Yes.
And, you know, that's not to say that guys on this roster don't deserve to be there or can't be a part of a very good team. But, yeah, I think you're right. You know, I don't know what the
wingers.
Yeah, I don't know if you bring in a DP winger and try and buy Pedro down or if you go for a different forward who maybe fits the system better and deal with Giassi. I don't think Giassi would be a problem. Like, I just don't think he's that type of guy.
But just don't put him at left back.
don't do that.
I think it would be interesting to play Giassi as a winger. If you bring in another striker. But I don't know how much Greg Berhalter would like that, and Greg is still in Columbus.
For now.
Yeah,
a month.
But he's like, hovering over this.
That's a whole different topic we could get on.
Yeah.
Really? He's around, huh?
He's been, like, attending these games and stuff like that.
Almost,
and to me,
he's
I'm like,
the, almost every
I'm like, Greg,
that's
Greg,
kind of awkward.
Greg, stay away, man.
That's
like,
kind
of
awkward.
I love Greg to death.
Yeah.
He's three of the games, home games so far this year. We've come out of the locker room after interviews, and he's just waiting out there, you know, shaking hands with guys and whatnot.
Yeah, that's a problem. And we all love him, and we're excited that he's the manager of the U.S. national team, and better days ahead for them. But he shouldn't be here lingering over the team. That's a bad look.
They're moving to Chicago once school's done. So
I get it. But you know, watch the game at home on TV, and you have to stay out of it. You can't be like a ghost floating around. That's not good, and that's no slight on him. By all accounts, he's a great guy, but he needs to be a professional and know that he shouldn't do that.
What if Porter was the one who asked him to respond?
Okay, well, I find
that
hard
that
to
highly.
Believe.
I doubt
no, no,
that
I mean,
highly.
From like because literally Porter only added the players that we got in the draft, which he's yet to use hardly ever. And Rubinho was a Berhalter call, so.
I don't think that's
well,
something Porter
would ever
do. Well,
text each other or something. Do yeah. FaceTime. I just think it's a bad look for him to be around.
It's just he's like elevated. He's a high-ranking person in the U.S. soccer world right now. And to have him hanging around a team that's struggling.
As much as he is. Because
the context is weird to me.
Yeah, as the U.S. coach, I do imagine he will be in Columbus from time to time.
Well, sure, and I got no problem with
but
that.
But
I think
the locker room
just,
right after the
yeah,
game.
The,
that's
the
weird.
Context.
I don't know. Yeah, I never saw Jurgen Klinsmann, for instance, standing outside the locker
room.
You
know what? Buy a ticket. Buy a ticket and sit with the fans. Sit in Nordic. People would love to have you.
Sure.
But just hanging around after... Yeah, I just. Think
I'm not sure you
one.
Want Greg in the Nordic. He might.
Oh,
like,
we
might
want Greg in the Nordic.
Take control of the Nordic. It might become something very different.
All right, real quick, because we did lose 3-1. Any thoughts defensively, goalkeeping wise, that before we wrap up this segment?
I'm really stunned that Porter keeps playing Josh Williams, and I like Josh Williams, but I have not really felt like he's been an impactful player in a positive way. And I thought Mensa, I don't know what's been going on the last couple of games with him, but he's certainly not playing at the level that we know of for him.
I think Sorrow and Mensa is a better matchup. I feel like
Sorrow
as a partnership, he's
no,
fine.
He's fine.
I just feel like as a partnership, they are so good together.
Yeah.
They're in sync with each other.
Yeah. But overall, you know, we gave up three goals. The defense was a little bit shaky at times, but I feel much more confident every week in our defense than I do any other part of our field. And
dude, you have a month to feel that
exactly
way.
And I am terrified about what happens when Zach Steffen leaves, yeah, because whatever half chances they get, he stuffs them 90%
yeah
of the time.
Yeah.
And if we have someone in net who's not nearly as good as him, I feel like we're going to have problems on both sides
of the
ball.
And then in August, when Zach Steffen is hanging out outside the locker room after yeah the games, that's going to be a
problem.
When
Man City's on the tour. Of
yeah,
the US.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, let's talk about it real quick and get it out of the way. We all saw the video, the MLS Zapruder film. You know, MLS wants to expand to 75 teams. And we talk about the fact that it's difficult when you're competing on a global level for talent. And you have this lofty goal that you're going to be a top five league in the world or whatever it is, which is absurd at this point.
20-some years in.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. But how about we address the talent gap in officiating in this league, which at the beginning of the league was frustrating.
Sure.
And then I felt like it got better. But now we need more officials because there are more teams and more games. And I feel like we're backsliding. And this uncle guy, I say uncle. What was that? And it's one thing. I would have felt better about it if he would have just called a foul right there. Then they went over and watched it on TV and then decided that it was a foul and took away our goal.
It's literally the dumbest thing I've seen in my entire time watching this league.
Anybody back up? Well, really. I mean, anybody who is not Don Garber or the
yeah
head of officials.
Yeah, here, I'll tell you who. Andrew Wiebe from yeah MLS Digital was saying it's a foul. Yeah. I was losing my mind. He said that it was a foul because the goal came directly from a foul by Trapp on Acosta. It's like, no, Acosta went down, one, way too easily. Secondly, he stepped on Trapp's foot. Three, it was Uncle who got in the way. Acosta going down, from a physics standpoint, I'm not a grad student in physics, okay? I'll admit this. But he could not have went down the way that he went down if it was Trapp who's the one that made that happen. Physics simply doesn't allow that to happen. And I'm sorry. If I'm knocked down in a soccer game, I don't throw my hands in the air, all right? He went down soft. Those calls have got to go. And the fact that they actually went to video review and still called it a foul.
Well, how does that work? So we score the goal.
Yeah.
Whose call is it to go to VAR? Is it Uncle's? Is somebody
yeah
calling him from upstairs going, we really need to look at it?
He's called from upstairs. So they've got a guy sitting up in one of the boxes that is watching everything on, you know, watching the game, but then following up everything on TV. So he says, hey, we should hold play for a minute. Then he's looking at it, telling Uncle or whoever what he saw, and then they decide based on that conversation, okay, should you go over and look at it, or there's enough for me to just make the call up in the booth? And so between the two of them, two paid referees, professional referees, decided that that play needed to go be looked at, which we're sitting in the stadium. Again, I'm sitting next to two DC writers.
Were there DC fans or writers going, well, they should really take a look at that one?
No, and it was so confusing to us, you know, not
what are they looking at? Right.
Yeah, we didn't know what they were looking at. We didn't know. We thought maybe Higuain, the first thing was we thought Higuain was offside on the shot.
Okay.
And that maybe that was what I've got it on my, there's no monitors in the DC press box, which is a
fun. Oh, new stadium. Huh?
Yeah. Right. Well, there is, but there's not where we're sitting.
Okay.
So, I have it on my computer streaming it, and because there's no blackouts there apparently, but they you know, so we're looking at the Higuain thing, like, no, he looks onside, and then we saw that, you know, replaying it, Giassi Zardes and a guy collided,
right.
And so we thought maybe that was what they were calling, but then they
That's
take the
ridiculous.
Free kick up near midfield,
40 yards away from that play,
and until
so everybody still didn't know what
yeah,
was going
and
on,
and until it came out on Twitter, we were all confused. I mean, there was.
Wow!
Even Dwight Burgess and Neil Sika doing the crew broadcast were like, I I think it could be Zardes or it could be the trap thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody knew.
Well,
nobody had a clue.
And DC, DC United reporters are on our side. Papo Amaro wrote an article earlier today for The Athletic, and he tweeted out, "For once, I agree with Caleb Porter. I'm still completely shocked at what Ted Uncle did on Saturday night, and Pro and MLS must address it. On Athletic Soccer, I wrote about Uncle's inexplicable decision to erase his own error with VAR.
Could that be just as the simple explanation is that Uncle was embarrassed that he was in the middle of the play?
That is what Caleb Porter thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying, Porter said after the game, that he bailed himself out for making such a mistake.
But he didn't bail himself out.
He made himself
a
bigger part of the story. Yeah.
Well, but this is what he always does. This is the same guy who in 2016 saw a foul on Tyson Wall and then gave the red card to Michael Parkhurst accidentally.
I remember it.
And those two don't look alike.
He accidentally red carded the wrong player against Seattle, I think, last week?
Yes, last week.
And then realized he had done that and kind of said, never mind, sorry, you're going off.
You want Porter?
So it's insane.
But do you want to hear the audio now? Let's do it.
Here we go.
This one. First 30 minutes were spot on, exactly what we wanted to do. Came out, we were compact. We knew they'd try to build, and they weren't threatening at all. We knew transition would be on, which it was. We were lively when we got on the ball. We kept the ball. Everything was spot on. And then obviously we score a goal, and we all know what happened. If you watch it, I'm sure you guys have, maybe you haven't, but it's a fair goal. It's a fair goal, 100%. Referee gets in the way, referee fouls Acosta, and then the referee goes and looks at the television to bail himself out. I've never in my life seen anything like that, ever. So everything was spot on out of our guys, and that's a fair goal. We should have been up 1-0.
What was the explanation from the referee? Did you have a conversation with him after he overturned the goal?
We're not allowed to talk to referees, ever. So there's no explanation.
What did maybe you hear from your players of what he told them?
He told them, I think, that Will fouled Acosta.
Will anything be done here?
No. So every Friday, MLS does a inside video review, okay? And it's done by the head of officiating for Pro. I won't say his name, but I know his brother very well. I used to coach with his brother, okay? And I text his brother, and I said, your brother is going to have some explaining to do next week because this is ridiculous. And he said, send me the clip. So I send him the clip. Even the head of Pro's brother goes, that ref, Ted Uncle, needs to be removed from reffing for at least two games. He should be suspended. He was like, that's atrocious.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote.
Here's the problem, though. And this is something that Major League Soccer has been dealing with for years. They have made the decision that their best way of growing this league and growing this game in this country is to get flashy stars and to put all of the money into, number one, expansion, number two, marketable players. And what they really need to do is be building the foundation. They need to be building the academy system, and they need to be building a top level officiating so that this is not looking like a joke to the rest of the world. You know, clips like this go outside the United States to fans overseas.
Oh, they're having fun with
and
this everywhere.
It's the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
And this is something that happens on a routine basis. They need to take some of that expansion money and put it into fixing Pro or replacing Pro with a competent organization.
Well,
this has been going on for years and years. It's not just Ted Uncle. There are a number of referees over the course of this history. I mean, you can go all the way back to Toledo and guys like that. I mean, this has been bad for
he's awful.
Ever. And it does not get better. And we're going to have to fix it. And they need to spend money to fix it.
MLS did a good job, I thought. If you saw the video that they put out a couple years ago where they kind of showed you what the refs do on a weekly basis. Anybody ever see that? It's a really fascinating video. But they show – it's like 10, 12, 15 minutes. And what it is, them showing what the refs do on a weekly basis, how they prepare, what kind of studying they do, the kind of repercussions for poor calls, things like that. And that gave me a little – hope. I was like, okay, they're trying to do the right thing. This just tells me that certain guys are just inept. Ted Uncle is inept, plain and simple.
Makes the rest of the guys look bad. The rest of the guys in his union have to be like.
Was it Kevin Terry that was in the box? Okay, those two guys are horrifyingly bad. to go to review for that is astonishing to me.
Now,
but
would DC have argued that, hey, hold on, we should be reviewing that thing that happened 10 minutes ago?
I think Acosta argued, like, briefly when he got knocked
down. Well, players do
but
that.
Yeah. The whole crew team, because they just scored, they hadn't scored in 200-plus minutes, is down in the corner. DC's lined up to kick off.
Yeah.
No one,
that tells
I mean,
you all that,
unless
that you
I
need
missed
to
it
know.
While I was typing out the tweets, I didn't see anyone argue
right.
the DC it's, goal. Or the
nobody
goal.
Would have thought anything else about it, and the game would have gone and on. It's a bloody mystery. Is
but
what
while
it
we're
is.
Talking about people arguing, to fast forward in the game, the handball on Will Trapp, and you know, whether it's a handball or not,
right.
like, we can debate that. But Wayne Rooney loses his mind. No one else is complaining. Wayne Rooney runs at the referee. So the next stop to play, it gets called back. Second half, Hector Jimenez hits a shot. Hits a hand. Not an arm, a hand.
Mm-hmm.
That play ends up as the third goal when Jonathan passes or doesn't pass it and whatnot. So Higuain goes up to the referee asking him to review it. Nothing. And, you know, if your captain, stars, whatever, can't get the referee to at least... you know, check with the guy upstairs on that, but your opponent's is, and I mean, it's just another example of like what Caleb Porter said after the game about respect. And
well, he said, I don't know if the ref fanned out on Rooney, oh my God, it's Rooney. Oh, I'm going to listen to him, but I'm not going to listen to Higuain. Could it be that? I don't know. I'm not a guy who's a conspiracy guy. The refs are against us, and Garber is telling the ref. You know, like there are some people are saying that kind of stuff.
That's Orlando fans.
Yeah, I think. That would be giving them too much credit. Like, they're maniacal geniuses. No, they're morons, making mistakes constantly.
Well, and I also think that, you know, if you look at the pay structure for pro, these guys are not well compensated for what they do. They will go away from home for a weekend, and they get paid a couple $100s to ref one of these Major League Soccer games.
No.
It's
more than that.
It was like $350 years ago.
Center refs get like $850.
That's still really low.
We're
running a real league here, but the NFL mm-hmm. does that.
These guys are not
refs have to go home and work their day job, which is that's always been ridiculous to me.
Well, wait a minute, I don't know if that's the case anymore with pro. I'd have to dig into that. But I think once they started the pro referee organization, I'm pretty sure like that's become more lucrative.
I know that when Soren Stoica had an incident with the crew a couple years ago, he basically got on his own social media or something and said, hey, you know, look, this is a part-time thing for me. I've got a 9-to-5 during the week. I did my best. I'm sorry.
How long ago was that?
3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to solve this tonight.
But
I think we've made the points that we need to make about the debacle, you know? So
let me just say one more thing. Friday, when they come out with that, that's how you're going to see... If MLS digs in and goes, no, that is a legitimate foul, then it's all nonsense. If they go, hey, it's on us, we made a mistake, which they do in those videos. They'll say, we made a mistake, and I applaud them for that because I think we understand that they're humans and mistakes happen. That's all we want is for people to say, hey, I screwed up. But if they dig their heels in and go, nope, that's a foul, that's unacceptable.
It was so egregious. I worry about some of these guys, like, betting on this game. I mean, it was really
well,
that
if they're
bad.
Yeah, I mean... I don't want to go there, but it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder.
It was bad.
Because if these guys aren't paid very well. Okay, Sam has some
notes. So as of 2011, referees who have 0 to 20 game experience receive $700 per game. 21 to 40 games of experience.
$700 a game for the lowest experience.
Yeah. 21 to 40 games, it's $900.
$900 for more experienced referees.
Level 2 referees who have 41 to 75 game experience.
41 to 75 games.
$1,000 per game.
Level
1 referee who has 76 or more games is $1,100 per game.
$1,100 per game is where you top out.
Yes, but
how many of these experienced refs do they have?
$2,000 per game for tournament stage, which is playoffs.
Uh-huh.
And then up to $3,500 for MLS Cup.
But that's also 2011. My guess it has to be higher.
I'm guessing it
has to be higher as of today.
It could be.
I've read that they make, you know, 55 to 75 thousand a year. That's what I've read.
Well, if you work enough youth soccer tournaments, so you can pad your income. That's one game after the other on these things. All right, Thanks, guys. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got to talk trade. We have a human being coming this way from Portland, and we also have we have a stack of money here, and we have a stack of money here. And I can't make it. I hope somebody understands this arcane trading of money in MLS.
Less is more, I guess, in this situation.
Yeah, so we'll talk about we're not going to spend a lot of time in the allocation dollars because it just makes your eyes roll into the back of your head. But we will break down Guzman coming from Portland, one of Porter's old players, because that's an actual player who will play for Columbus Crew SC. And we'll do that next on the Massive Report after I get a beer over at the bar at Hendocks. We are back at Hendocks, another edition of the Massive Report underway. We've finished grousing about the officiating. We'll probably do it again on this podcast. If you like to hear grown men complain about other grown men, this is the podcast for you. Because if there's
I can tell you other podcasts.
If there's anything that's a constant in MLS, it's the lousy officiating. And I believe we've hit rock bottom. So maybe MLS will finally realize that they have a problem and they need to fix it.
If MLS had any balls, they'd replay the game.
That's never going to
happen. Oh, my gosh.
All right. So we heard
now
from the
coach.
Now you
sound like an Atlanta fan.
We've gone through the game, and now we look ahead, and we have an actual new player joining us. Guzman, one of Porter's former charges, is coming east to play for Columbus Crew. What'd we give up?
International roster spot.
Oh, here we go.
For 2019. Just 2019.
Wow. Here we go. So we didn't have to give up an actual player. Just, and we'll talk about the money changing hands here in a moment. Completely separate deal. Porter seems to really like him.
Yeah.
What does he bring?
So we have a great article on Massive Report that talks about that, but I'll dig into that myself.
I wonder who wrote that.
I don't know.
You might as well go ahead.
He's a brilliant guy here. But,
Mike wrote it, just so we're clear. Mike wrote the article.
Guzman is, it's interesting because when Porter first brought him, or him and Gavin Wilkinson, the GM for the Timbers, brought him to Portland, it was one of those things where he was a guy that played for, or played in Costa Rica, and when they played the Timbers in CONCACAF Champions League, the guy who stood out the most of all 22 players on the field was David Guzman.
Okay. I'm just going to say that that's how Manchester United found Cristiano Ronaldo in a preseason game. So,
hey, could be our Ronaldo? Is that what you're saying, Murph?
I'm not saying it.
I like it. Our problems are solved.
Similarities.
Our problems are solved.
Well, MLS Cup, here we come. But, you know, he's one of those guys, and I think one of the things that really has to be mentioned is that there is a difference. People go, okay, he's a number six. He's a defensive midfielder. Well, we have that with our Tour and Trap. But the biggest thing is, Porter wants a guy who's going to go in there and mix things up.
Yeah.
You know, he had that with Diego Chara before Guzman came in. And Chara is certainly a guy, he has to lead the league in cards since he's been in the league by far. And, you know, Guzman has a bite to his game. He's also very technical. I mean, a lot of guys that have that bite don't have the technical ability to create and make plays and link the defense to the offense, right? He has that ability. I think his first year, he was still feeling out the league. He accumulated a lot of cards in that first year. Also had a lot of reckless tackles. But I think we've seen that dive down a little bit since he's got more acclimated to how the refs work and how the league works. But he's a guy that's going to bring something that Trapp and Artur don't bring, which is some fight and a physical presence.
All right, so Artur seems to be, at first glance, the odd man out here, right?
That would be my assumption.
Okay.
I don't know what your guys' thoughts are, but that would be my assumption.
I don't know. Caleb talked today about needing depth at the position, and we've seen when Will's been gone, when they've rotated, you know, like they did in Houston, that's a position that they don't have a lot of depth. Ricardo Clark, while still a fine player, is limited at his age. Luis Argudo has not really found a position. They seem to like him at central midfield, and he's not doing anything exceptional. So this is at the very least a depth position. Caleb wouldn't go as far to say that he was unhappy with either Will or Artur.
Nor should he say that.
No.
That's something that he has to figure out, but he doesn't need to tell us.
Right, but he did bring up the Gold Cup coming up. He didn't bring up, and I know this was in your article, Mike, the potential that Will could leave this summer.
Uh-huh.
You know, if there's a time to do it, it's probably now when he's getting regular national team appearances, and, you know, he's about that age where You know, if you don't do it, you're probably stuck in MLS the rest of your career. So that's a possibility. Porter also brought up having more diversity in terms of, you know, playing a 4-3-3. Well, now you have a third central midfielder that you feel comfortable with. And it's just a guy he knows. And he admitted, and I tweeted this out, and the quote's out there, but that this is not an area they needed to address. He knows that there are other areas that they're going to need to address that are more pressing, but this was an opportunity that came to them. And so I don't know if that means Portland called or if they just heard, hey, he might be available because Guzman hasn't played in the last few games for Portland. But it's a guy that Caleb knows, that he trusts to play the way he wants to play, knows how he's going to work. They know each other. And so at the very least, this is a depth move and will push Artur and Will, because Caleb did say he thinks he can play either the 8 or the 6. But push those guys, because right now they're not being pushed. You know, right. I mean, you know, you can talk all you want about having depth at the position. Yeah. Neither of the guys I mentioned before are contending for starting spots.
Right.
Guzman, once he gets settled in and whatnot, very well could. So, you know, now you've got some competition. Hopefully it brings the best out of everybody.
He's a Costa Rican Chris Birchall, and I like him. I'm a big fan. I think he's going to fit in well. I think he gives us a different look at D-Mid. And I think, I don't know, I want to see him play more as like a box-to-box kind of midfield, like a Gattuso-style kind of pit bull. I don't know. I think he could give us a different look and a little bit more fight in the midfield. I think we need it.
One of the reasons that Porter brought Guzman into Portland the year after they won the MLS Cup is because he wanted to free up Chara to be that box-to-box midfielder. And you're right, Guzman does have that ability to play an 8 or a 6. So depending on the situation, you could see him in either one of those roles. And especially with Trapp still here, whether or not he stays here, I think that's going to give Porter some flexibility. That's the thing. I think he's kind of pigeon-held right now with where those guys can play. This, like Murph said, brings competition, but also gives him the flexibility that he wants. And that I think we really need, because we're kind of stuck. You know, I mean, in terms of the 11 that he plays and maybe one or two guys off the bench, this gives him another guy where he goes, okay, I feel comfortable here.
Well, just a breath of fresh air, too. I think this team needs just something. And we don't know him personally, so we don't know what sort of fire he brings. We don't know if he's good at getting his teammates motivated. If Caleb Porter wants the guys to play more free and easy, this guy used to play for him. They seem pleased with each other. He can bring, and there's nothing wrong with having an edge. We're watching hockey right now. Every team needs guys that get under the other team's skin. We have to have it.
We absolutely lack that with the crew right now.
I have no problem with it at all, and I'll be fascinated to see how he's brought into the fold here in the coming weeks. I don't expect him necessarily to play this week, but we'll see. We're going to preview both of those LA games here in just a few minutes on the Massive Report. Real quick, does anyone understand the money that went one way and the other and what it means, if anything? Who'd we trade with? I forget.
LA Galaxy.
LA Galaxy. All right, so we sent them some money and they sent us some money. What does it mean? Do we know?
I just like that we're sending them one pile of money that was created to help LA Galaxy for another pile of money that was also created to help LA Galaxy in a different year. I think that's really kind of special.
Yeah, Alex, I think you put it as succinctly as humanly possible.
Well, you tied a bow on this one, Stanley. So
either way, the house wins, and the house is out there in Los Angeles. And we have to play them next. Did you have something to add, Sam?
The exchange rate is 1.2, so it's basically...
But LA is not in Canada.
That's right.
I'm confused.
Yeah, it was $300,000 for $225,000.
Oh, okay.
All right, but you can use the money for different things.
Yeah.
Right.
The basics of it is that targeted allocation money can only be used. I should probably pull this up here. Targeted.
Are you
allocation
on Wikipedia?
Money,
there
MLS
is no
should
Wikipedia
have their
page,
own PDF.
Yeah, well, it would have to be updated like once a week by Don Garber when he feels like changing.
Oh, I see. All right.
Does Don Garber rock what's that thing called?
A monocle.
No. Like Monopoly? Because that's what this money is. It's really just Monopoly money at this point. It's not real.
It's Garber Fun Bucks.
All right. So allocation money is just money that can be used in addition to the salary budget.
That's made up.
It's just your made up money. General allocation money, which each club gets an allotment of $200,000 for, can be used to buy down players.
But you should read all the additional ways that you can get additional money.
Yeah, that
there's like a giant list.
In this situation, we know that there was a trade. So you can use
restrictions may apply. Yes. See store for details.
You can use it to buy down players. You can use it to sign players that are new to MLS, existing MLS players, offset acquisition costs in connection with the extension of a player's contract, or to reduce the salary budget charge.
Look, if you want to understand how MLS funny money works, read that article that Paul Tenorio put out about 2 months ago. It's fascinating, but also makes your eyes bleed. I mean, it's brutal. It's a great article. I think it was in The Athletic. Did you see that, Murph?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in The Athletic. It really breaks it down. I mean, he does a great job. But I'm not going to lie. I got through about 4/5 of it, and I said, I can't do this anymore. My head exploded.
Yeah. It's basically, they traded money that can be used for certain things for money that can be used for other things. And they got less of the money for things.
What things are we going to use our money
but
for?
But I think that, you know, the one thing I will say with this is, in all seriousness, they're accumulating a decent amount of both TAM and GAM. If I remember correctly, TAM expires. I'm not sure GAM does. I could have that backwards.
Yeah, no.
So it's quite likely that the amount of money that they gave up is money that they were going to lose if they didn't use it.
Oh my god! And this is like attorney porn right here.
Yeah,
that's what this is. Yeah. A bunch of attorneys got together.
They're gonna announce JAM and PAM and DAM in like 3 years.
Let's create something that only we can understand.
It's so bizarre.
Wasn't the financial meltdown caused by just this kind
like,
of
pretty much
like GAM and TAM? Yeah,
kind of monkey business, and now we're doing it with MLS. At some point, I'm going to end up owing more on my house or something. At the end of the day, I don't know how it's going to happen, but you know, the bill's going to come.
They're
all
gonna
right,
tell
fair
you
enough.
Season tickets are like $400, and then suddenly they're going to be $400,000, and you're going to have to default on your seats.
Well, we did our best to explain that, and I thank you guys because you did as good a job as you could with all the fine print and everything. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we have because MLS goes, let's give Columbus both LA teams in 3 days for some reason. We are back at Hendox for the third and final segment of this week's Massive Report podcast, and we still have a lot to get through because MLS is scheduled both LA teams in 1 week, Wednesday at Monterrey Stadium with Galaxy and then Saturday night with LAFC. And if you were to do a poll of casual sports fans in Central Ohio, most of them would not know that there are two teams in LA. And here's the problem. People are going to go,
there are two teams in LA?
What? Why are we playing them again? I don't get it. But I will tell you this, that it's another Don Garber dream come true as LAFC is one in the West. And the Galaxy is too, and we'll get to those matches one at a time here in a moment. But first, Bart is not here, so Alex is going to talk about Bart's bag.
Yes, this segment is sponsored by the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls Club GCG Bag. You can learn more about them on Twitter at GCGBag96 and online at GCGBag.com, where you can see all their funny YouTube videos and keep up to date with all the shenanigans they get into in Nordeca.
Well, I just thank God every day that he didn't call it a sack and he called it a bag, because otherwise you'd have to talk about Bart's sack. Nobody wants to talk about Bart's sack. We love you, Bart. Maybe see you next week. Does anyone know where he is?
He's at the Jackets
He's
game.
He's at the game.
He's at the Jackets game. I'll tell you what. The last two crew games that I go to, I run into him in the beer line.
Well, so that's where Bart spends most of his time.
One of us is in the beer line, and one of us is about to go in the beer line, and it's kind of interchangeable.
He always gives good ratings because he doesn't actually watch the game. He just waits in line for the beer, drinks it on the way back to his seat, and gets right back in line.
He's having a good time, and we should all have a good time. And we'll have a good time Wednesday at Monterrey Stadium when LA Galaxy comes to town, the number two team in the West. What do we know about LAG?
Well, this past weekend's game against the Red Bulls was absolutely entertaining from a neutral fan standpoint, just a fan of the soccer. It was 3-2. Red Bulls won. There was also some goals called back because offside. A couple of shots hit the post. It was a great game. Now, here's the thing. Yes, LA Galaxy is number two right now in the West, and I think maybe even number two overall in the league. But they're 1-2-1 on the road.
Okay.
So if, as Porter said,
How's their defense? Do they just concede goals without the other team touching the ball? Because that may be what has to happen at this point.
Well,
like that corner kick we saw against
us. Yeah, oh my God, that was horrifying. But Bill Hamid was awful with that play. But, you know, David Bingham's a good keeper for L.A. Their back line has struggled for about 2 years, but they put a lot of money into it this past offseason. So they're a little better, but they get by scoring a boatload of goals, okay?
17 of them, to be exact.
Yes.
Wow.
So
what's that like?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait till we get to LAFC.
Wait. Well, I think we're going to have to play 24 games for us to get to 17 goals at this point. But the reality is LA's good, but they kind of struggle at home a little bit. So if we can take advantage of that.
The road. They struggle on the road.
What'd I say?
At home.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Yes. They struggle on the road. But here's the thing. If, as Porter said, that the shenanigans that took place in D.C., if that could be the fork in the road for this team and galvanize them and go, hey, it's us against the world now, L.A.'s the perfect team to play. Both L.A. teams are perfect to play and go, we're taking it to everybody.
Ibrahimovic, is he coming?
As far as I know.
Is he going to be in the starting 11, or are they trying to manage his minutes at all?
He did start against New York, which kind of concerns me in whether or not he'll play here. He did come out, I think. Maybe not.
No, he didn't come out.
I was looking at something else earlier. So that does concern me. I don't know. He seems to be playing more frequently. He played on turf earlier this year.
Okay. It's new for him.
Yeah, right. And now that was in Seattle, and, you know.
It's a big game for them.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it would be rather disappointing if he doesn't play. It would be like when New York City came a few years ago and just didn't play any of their guys.
Oh, yeah.
And still won.
Yeah, they had the reserve team.
Yeah.
Their JV.
And not that Zlatan would make, you know, that big of a difference, but he does make that big of a difference, frankly. He's their guy up top, whether he's scoring or creating other things. But this is a good LA team. I mean, I'm just looking at their lineups the last few games. You know, this is about as good as they've had it in a while. They might add a former Crew defender Giancarlo Gonzalez, which will help that defense. Won't happen by Wednesday, but yeah, I like this LA team. And like you said, though, if there's a time to turn things around, you've got a good week to do it with two teams that no one thinks you're going to win against, both of them coming into your building. So, you know, it's unfortunate that they're within 4 days of each other because tired legs and whatnot, but yeah, like you said, you've got a shot here to kind of make people forget about these last five games.
And their manager.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, yeah. Sort of not. I don't know. It's awkward.
It's going to be a weird game.
Yeah.
I'm actually really worried about this game. I think that this is the wrong team at the wrong time for the
Crew.
I think that this is the game Sorrow has to start. Because you're going to need Sorrow and Mensah to control Ibrahimovic if you have any chance. He is probably the best player technically that I have seen in my entire life. I think he's better than Messi technically.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think he is. From a pace and dribbling perspective, he's not, but he has the best 2 feet out of any player I've seen in my lifetime. The only player who maybe was close was Ronaldo before he blew out his knees. Oh, Brazilian Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
He can make something out of nothing and finish with an incredible, you know, return rate on you know, converting chances. And we, unfortunately, have a tendency to let 3 good chances a game go, and he can make that 3 of 3.
Well, here's the thing in MLS that perhaps defenders, and you guys know more than I do, but we're not used to having to game plan for one guy who is of that superior of talent, and that makes it even more difficult when you're conceding that you're going to have to bracket them. Two guys are going to have to deal with them. That leaves somebody else open.
Yep.
That means more work that maybe other guys aren't used to doing. And that certainly doesn't help a team that has trouble scoring goals, because it's one less person at least that can't jump forward. Like Sorrow, who likes to get forward.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to be able to do that.
Well, you know, one thing you have going for you is that, yes, it's a lot of minutes for an older player like Zlatan, so they're going to have to manage that. Secondly, they don't have Alessandrini. He's hurt. He's out for a while. He's a hell of a player. So, again, and they're flying from the West Coast to the East Coast. That makes you jet lag.
They probably just stayed in New York, I imagine.
Oh, did they?
I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Did they have to drive here to save money?
They just got Tam or Gam or something from Columbus.
Guys, we're going business class this time. We just got some Tam money from Columbus. Those suckers gave us this money. We're going to use it to fly business class from New York to Columbus. So buckle up and relax. Get yourself a bag of peanuts.
I think this is a good time as any to play them. I understand the frustration of, hey, the two L.A. teams back-to-back. But given the nonsense that went on over the weekend, in L.A., they lost a tough one against New York, right? And it was the first game that they've lost. Because they've lost two on the road. But they have a knack for losing on the road right now, right? So they could be in their own head. Who knows if Ibrahimovic is going to play all 90 minutes. So in that game, again, that L.A., the Red Bull game was funky. There were weird calls. That kind of stuff stays with you. So I'm really curious to see how the first 15 to 20 minutes go in this game for the Crew. Can they get a goal and really open things up?
Probably not.
Murph!
If we're just being honest.
All right, well, pick a score real quick, then we'll move on to LAFC.
I said 2-1 Crew.
Wow. Okay. Murph's not... Murph's like, well, now I don't know what to do.
I'm gonna go 1-1 ties. Zlatan doesn't play.
Wow. Okay. If he does play,
I don't feel as confident.
Okay.
If he does play, I'm gonna fanboy out quite a bit.
All right.
That's
neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to stand next to you then.
He's been one of my favorite players for so long, but yeah, he scares me half to death. I'm gonna have to say 2-1 Galaxy. I think he does play.
Right. Now, you know, Brian, I think your score prediction last week was 1-1, right? Is that what it was?
I don't remember.
But you said if they played the Mike 3-5-2 before nothing. Well, Right. Clearly you were on to something.
Yeah. So if they play your formation and personnel this week, 4-0 win again, I'm calling
yes.
it. But the way we've been playing, and forgive me, it hurts me in my heart, but I'm going to take Galaxy 3-1. I don't see this. I think Zoltan does play. They want to keep up with their city brethren. All the points are important for them, you know. So this is a game they got to take seriously. And after losing on Sunday, I think they will. So, unfortunately, that's the way I got to go. All right, on Saturday night at Montfrey Stadium, LAFC, Bob Bradley, the former U.S. national team manager. Of course, Sam was telling us last week about how high a regard that he's held in your native Egypt for what he did with the Egyptian national team. He has had certainly an interesting career. He was, for a brief period, a brief moment in time, a manager in the English Premier League. It's been a little bit of everything. And now he's with LAFC. He's not been around that long, but here they are, unlike Chivas USA.
Thank God.
The first iteration of having a second team in L.A., they are going gangbusters with their own stadium there. They are 7-3-1. They have 26 goals on the year, 8 conceded, for a +18 goal differential. No one even comes close. The only other team in the league that has a double-digit plus differential is, shockingly, Philadelphia Union at a +10.
Well, that's because they scored 6 this weekend.
Well, that's true. So those numbers can get skewed. But what makes this team special?
Well, I mean, they just have an endless amount of scoring ability. I mean, with Carlos Villa, and Bob Bradley knows how to work things in MLS. I mean, he has this league down to a T. But, hey, on the bright side, they're 1-1-2 in their last 4 games. They were shut out recently against Chicago. We know Chicago's not amazing.
What?
Yeah. So this is a team that, hey, if we can catch them again, if we can there's a lot of ifs here.
Are they playing on Wednesday?
I don't know. Are they? Does anybody know?
Somebody check on that. See if they're playing on Wednesday.
I'm pulling up their schedule as we speak because I was curious about that.
That's important, you know. I mean, when you have to play, go 3-8.
They do not.
Okay.
Darn it.
Well, that's definitely an advantage for them. They're going to come in fresh.
They do play next Thursday, though, in case
you're
looking.
So they have to keep that in mind. That's good.
All right.
In Dallas.
Okay.
Oh, no, in L.A. against Dallas, sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, again, you know, they have to make that long trek. That's good. That's good for us, right? But again, I have a little optimism just because of the fact that maybe teams are starting to figure them out. Because Obviously, they've been playing really well. But again, 1-1-2 in the last four. Chicago shut them out. If you can do that, and our defense with the Crew has that ability, no doubt about it. Can we score? Who the hell knows? But defensively, we know we can keep balls out of the net.
I know. They can't score.
Well, the problem is that these are the wrong kinds of teams to be playing when you're struggling to score, because we're just, as I mentioned, we're going to have to be thinking so much about a clean sheet.
Would you be happy with 2-0-0 draws?
I would.
100%.
I would count those points as gold.
Absolutely.
And I would love them, and I would hold them close.
Now, would that be Crew gold or LAFC gold? Because this is a battle of black and gold teams. One has real gold,
course,
and the other
crew
one has
gold. Of course, Crew gold. Yeah, I would absolutely take 2-0-0 draws, and I would be excited about it.
I would take a loss in a 0-0 draw at this point. Like, I just want a point. Can we just get a point, please?
Hey, you know what? As dire as things have been, the Eastern Conference is kind of floundering, and the Crew are still in sixth position.
That's crazy.
In the Eastern Conference, yeah, with 13 points, one clear of Orlando. Red Bulls still looking up at us, the defending champions Atlanta, Chicago, Cincinnati now only 8 points. It seems like only a few days ago we were like, huh, maybe they got something there. I don't know what, but, you know, they're buried almost in last, only ahead of the New England Revolution, who are having a rough time.
With the way that Philadelphia's been playing, it makes that 3-1 loss a little better, does it not?
That's the thing about this league. It's all context, and you have to watch several weeks of games before you understand anything. And the Union certainly look good right now, but, you know, maybe in 2 weeks they don't. It's just the Eastern Conference is a mess.
That's the thing. Who knows? That's the thing about MLS. Yes, it's easy to bet and go, oh man, the Crew are playing LA and LA. That's two losses. They're probably going to lose 4-0 each game. But the thing about MLS is it's such an MLS-y thing where the Crew could win 3-0 both games. That's
There's the nobody in Las Vegas that makes money a professional gambler betting on
Absolutely
MLS.
Not. You'd be living in a box if you tried to make your money.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. That would be hard enough in any other sport, but in MLS, forget it.
Absolutely,
it's impossible. Impossible. Well, all right. We need scores, unless you guys have any other thoughts about LAFC on Saturday night at Moffray Stadium, where it's supposed to be damp and fairly cool.
When? On Wednesday?
On Saturday. On Saturday, it's supposed to be chilly.
Which is really unfortunate, because it's going to be the first game I go to as a fan in a long time. So
well, it's good for us, though, that these guys come in from LA and the weather's not perfect, so I don't think they're going to like that. All right, let's give some scores.
1-1.
2-1 LAFC. It never goes well when I'm not in the press box. It doesn't always go well when I am in the press box, too.
Gosh, I hate to say it. I'm going to say 2-0 LAFC.
I'm going 0-0. I like where we were going with that. So it's a 0-0 draw on Saturday night. I'm calling it.
Is anybody keeping track of our prediction
to
see how horrible
track.
We are?
No one's keeping track. No one wants to know how poorly we've done. Certainly not I. But,
I think I had two last season, all last season. I think I had two.
That's a good batting average.
We were just saying, MLS is hard to pick. Well, the noise you hear in the background is Brad Marchand going to the Sinbin for a slashing penalty.
You hate
Boston
to see it.
Bruins. You really hate to see it. And he's sitting on two Boston phone books, so he can see onto the ice and actually see the game going on as he sits there for 2 minutes.
Hey, I would have to do that too, so, you know, it's part of the deal.
Yeah, but you know what? You're not Brad Marchand. We love you.
I tend to think I'm a little more
likable
than Brad Marchand.
Don't be offended by that, all right? It's not like I'm a tall guy either. It's just, you know, that guy just makes me angry.
He is the worst.
So I'm sorry. That was not
fine.
Nice.
It's hilarious.
I apologize. All right, are we done? I guess we're done.
Go Jackets.
All right, L.A. and L.A. and go Jackets. And the next time we talk, we'll find out if we're playing the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll find out how our predictions went with LAFC and the L.A. Galaxy. That's the way it goes here at Hendox tonight. We're here every Monday night at 7 o'clock for the Massive Report. MassiveReport.com for all the great content. Read up on your Columbus Crew with expert commentary, breakdowns of the officiating and so forth, and the Massive Report podcast as well. And we thank Wayne Property Development for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. Wayne Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your house from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out WaynePropertyDevelopment.com for your next projects. For Murph, for Mike, for Alex, for Sam, I'm Brian. Listen to my radio station, CD1025, and we'll see you here next week at Hendrix.